Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the broadcast. It's going to be an amazing day. We are doing our call-in show. And then after this broadcast, we have our first week of partner prayer meeting where we're going to be praying with partners. Oops, I have this on the background. We're going to be praying with our partners after this at 1:30. So this stream will go until probably 1:15, 1:10. And then we're jumping right in to pray with our monthly partners and have you guys pray and talk with you guys. And it's going to be an amazing time. We're doing that every single week. So if you end up monthly partnering today, before the call starts in an hour and a half, I will check and send you the link. If you do monthly partner, I'll make sure that you get that. If you're on YouTube, you should get it when you partner there. You should check the community tab and you'll see the meeting ID and password and all of that. That'll stay the same for the entire year. So just write the meeting ID down and the password. That'll stay the same for the whole year. But right now we're doing our call-in show. This is our second Thursday at noon. We're going to be live every Thursday at noon doing different shows. This week we're doing call-in and next week, who knows what we're going to do. This weekend on Sunday, I'll be in San Bernardino at the Way World Outreach. I'm preaching Sunday morning, 9 and 11. So if you're in Southern California or anywhere around that area, drive out. I would love to see you. I'm rarely in Southern California, so come out to that. It's going to be great. February 24th, I'll be in Antioch, California. Info on my website. March 3rd, I'll be at Lifesong Church in Stockton, California. That'll be on my website soon. And then July 19th through the 21st, I'll be at Revival in the Desert in Washington. Get your registration at revivalinthedesert.com. So those are the next 3 months of events I'm going to be doing. Again, I'm going to be live Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday at noon. And then 1:30 p.m., partners prayer call. So if you're a monthly partner, you should have the link. I should have already emailed you. If I didn't email you, go to my post on YouTube, on Facebook or Instagram and comment you didn't get the link on the post that says attention monthly partners. And then if you are a YouTube member, go to the community tab. Get the link at 1:30. We're going to be praying together. We're going to let the Spirit lead. We have no agenda. We're just going to all pray together. Pray for your needs. Pray for each other. It's going to be a great time, okay? So we should probably get started here since we're going till, I would say, like 1:15. So get ready because we are going to put the number on screen. How early on Sunday? It's 9 o'clock is the service. You'll be fine if you get there, 30, 40 minutes early. I think you'll be okay. You don't have to get there like 7 hours early. It's a big building, and the Sunday morning, there will be room if you get there. I would say if you get there at 8 a.m., you're going to be fine. It'll be really good. All right, so let me know in the comments where you guys are watching. Revival in the Desert, I forgot what part. Yakima, Washington. Yakima. I think that's how you say it. But let me just read the chat really fast. Let me know where you guys are. 8 a.m. will be fine, Adriana. If you get there at 8 a.m., you'll be fine. I'm going to have the call-ins in a second. It'll be posted up right here in 30 seconds. I'll put it on screen. This is a call-in show, one question per person, and please keep it to a question. Don't call and just say, hey, will you give me a prophetic word, or will you tell me about what my dream means? It's questions, guys, so please ask your question. It could be personal. It could be advice. That's all great. I'll definitely pray with you and love to hear how you found the ministry. I don't want to rush you, but just be respectful that there's a lot of people waiting, and we only do this for about an hour, so just be respectful there, okay? This is probably your best chance to get in Thursday at noon. There's less people on right now than usual, but it'll grow as we go. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk supernatural. The number is now on screen. There it is. There's the phone number that you need to call, and there's the meeting ID. If you're in the U.S., call the phone number. If you're out of the U.S., use the meeting ID. Now, when you do call this number, 669-900-9128, you're going to need to type in the meeting ID. So it's important that you have that meeting ID, okay? I'm going to have my finger on the lock button, because it will fill up fast, and there's already people calling. If you got through last week, give a week off and let other people call in. So my finger is on the lock button. We're going to lock it once we get to, let's say, 7 or 8 people, because we don't want to rush people, and if we answer everyone's questions, we'll go to the next caller. I'm getting ready to lock it, getting ready to lock it, getting ready to lock it. All right, one more. Oh, somebody dropped out. One more person in. Let's see. One more. It's going to load all at once. Okay, we're locking it. We're locking it. We're locking it. It is full, and if we get through everybody or people drop out because people do hang up, they have, lives and stuff they have to do, then we are going to open it back up. Please be praying in the chat. Also, I'm reading the chat the entire time. So if you have advice or I'm missing something or you have a good word or scripture for the person on the call, type it in the chat, and I'll read it to them. I'll use it. If you ever say, like, Isaiah said my, use my, whatever I said in the chat, like he said it and I just said it, I probably got it from the chat. So if you have a good word or scripture and I read it out, then yeah, I'm reading the chat the whole time. So here we go. Let's take our first caller. Unmute them. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hello?
How's it going?
How's it going, Isaiah? My name is Kobe Valdez. I'm calling from Southern California.
What's up, Kobe? What's going on today? I think I might be on in the background. I'm hearing myself twice.
Yes, I'm turned down right now.
No problem, no problem.
Can you hear yourself?
Nope, it sounds good now. How's it going, man?
Going good, man. Going good. Another day, another day.
Awesome. Well, what's going on? What was your question today?
I have a quick question. Me and my, I wouldn't call her my girlfriend now. I'll call her my sister in Christ because we aren't married. We recently stopped fornicating like a month ago. And I want to say, like, what's the best way to like get like a revelation or confirmation of this is the one to marry? Because we both like, we're pretty much ready on it. But I watched like a video on the Jezebel spirit and stuff, and that like really clicked for me. Me and her stopped fornicating, stopped lusting. But I just want like, what's the way to go about it? What's the way to like,
to know that if that's the right person to marry?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. So I think a lot of times we want this like heavenly confirmation if we are going to marry a godly woman. Well, first of all, I want to say good that you stop fornicating. That's great. You definitely don't want to be in sin. It's very hard to hear God's will and God's plan on your life when you're currently living in sin, especially when it comes to a relationship. So I'm very glad that you stopped doing that because, you know, it's hard to hear God if you're sinning, fornicating, and doing all that stuff. So that's great. Separate from that. Live holy and righteous. And then I would say, I would spend some time fasting and praying about it. You definitely want to make sure you marry the right person. One of the biggest downfalls people have in ministry is they marry the wrong person. So the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. And that means when you put an oxen on a yoke, it was like a thing that would go around their back and keep them together to work together. So when it talks about being equally yoked, if you're running after God, the best thing you can do is look to your side and see your girlfriend or your fiance right there next to you. If she's way behind, she doesn't want to serve God, she doesn't want to go to church, she doesn't want to pray, then you're unevenly yoked. If you want to be in ministry, serve God and do his will, and she doesn't, you're unevenly yoked. So it's really about we have the same heart, the same goal, the same ideals, and of course, stuff like, does she want to have kids? That's a big one, right? Some people don't want to have kids. Others do. If you get married and you want kids and she doesn't, that's going to be a huge point of contention. So those are all things that are very important, and that's a whole nother topic. But I would say making sure that you're evenly yoked, that when you look to your side and you're running after God, she's right there next to you. When you say, hey, I want to live holy and righteous, she says, hey, you're right, I want to also. So you want to have someone that's like same spirit as you, going after the same ideals and passions and pursuing God together, wanting to raise kids the same way. You know, you don't want to be marrying someone that's Jehovah's Witness, and then whenever you have kids, it's like, are we going to go to the Jehovah's Witness church or the Christian church? You don't want to marry someone that's Mormon, because then it's like, are we going to the Mormon church or are we going to the Christian church? You definitely want to make sure you're in that same, marrying someone at the same level. And I personally, now, when I got married, I heard God as clear as audibly speak to me that Alyssa was going to be my wife. That doesn't always happen. And that doesn't have to happen. That's not like always necessary to marry someone. If she's serving God, if she wants to walk with God, you guys like each other, you feel it's God, you fast, you pray, maybe take a couple days of not talking, make sure that it's God, then do it. Then get married. I don't think you personally have to wait for some special revelation or prophetic word or vision or some confirmation to marry somebody. If a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. So I think if you found the one, then that's a great thing. Get married. But again, most important thing is she's a Christian and wants to serve God at the same level that you do.
Yeah, definitely. Because honestly, I broke away from a relationship. So with a really, really bad relationship, honestly, of being like physically abused. But I got blessed with a son out of that relationship. So she's like an amazing stepmom to my son. And when I first came to Christianity, I did like my 3 months, like I came across your videos. And so like 3 or 4 months later, I was getting more serious about it and getting more serious about it. And I prayed about it. I asked God, is this the one to marry? And literally the next day, she's like, honestly, I want to give my life to Christ. Do you want to go to church with you? Wow. She's like, I'm ready to go back to church and all that stuff. So honestly, I feel like that was like a little confirmation right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say this, again, I know some of this stuff is kind of hard that I'm saying, and it's like, it sounds strong, especially if you're, if she's just getting saved or committing her life to Christ, I would give it a little bit of time because it's a very radical thing to get saved. It's a very radical thing to serve God. It's a very radical thing to go all in. If you've been watching my content, you know, I'm like, hey, it's all or nothing, right? And that's where you're at. You're like, man, I want to be all in. I'm taking God serious now. No more playing games. Sometimes jumping into a marriage right at that time is not a good idea. It's like she's finding herself now. Finally, she's realizing this is who I was created to be. This is who I am. And so when you marry someone that's just saved or you're just getting lit on fire, it could be very hard to manage all that you have to go through in a marriage, you know, adjusting to living together, adjusting to being, you know, parenting. She's going to be now also parenting your son. So this is an adjustment that you have to make. And for me, my opinion would be, hey, give her some time. You take some time with God before you jump into a marriage. If your church offers premarital counseling, I would recommend that. A lot of churches offer that. I went through premarital counseling, me and my wife together for, you know, a month or two. That's great as well because you can sit with the pastor and they could say, hey, this is a marriage. Don't jump into it. Don't rush into it. That could also help. But I would say give it a little while. If she's just getting saved, let her grow in God. Let her find out who she is in God and then give it some time. And God will work it out. Here's the thing, bro. This is the most amazing thing about being a Christian. As long as you serve God, as long as you go after God, as long as you walk on the narrow road, God is going to work all things out. So your job is you keep pursuing God, walking the narrow road, living how he's called you to live, and God will work out these fine details of like, is she the right one? When should we do it? Where should we get married at? Who should we do premarital counseling? All of that stuff, God's going to work it out. Your job is staying on that straight and narrow path. And here's the thing, if she's not serious about God, it just won't work out because you're going one way, she's going another way. So I would just give a little time and be like, hey, let's do this God thing together. Let's have Bible studies together. And you need to lead her in the right way, you know? Don't be tempting her. Don't be, again, all these things, like you guys aren't fornicating anymore. Don't be the one to try to push yourself on her. Don't be the one to try to step over the boundary. You need to show her a godly example. Show her that you're a man of God, a man that can be trusted, a man that has integrity, a man that could lead a family. And don't wait till you get married to do that. Do that now. You know, show her that you're a provider and you're the man that would be a great husband and a great father. A lot of guys are like, basically in their head, they're just going to be a loser. And then once they get the girl and they get married, then they'll be a good guy. But to me, it's like, be a good guy now. Be the God guy God's called you to be now. And then when you get married, it's like, hey, you don't want her to say, man, you were so much different when we dated. You were so much better. Now you're just like a slouch. You want her to be like, man, this is the man I married. You're a man of God. You're a man of integrity. Even if she tempts you, no, you're a man of God. We're not doing that. I'm going to draw the line. I'm the man. I'm the head of the house. I'm drawing the line. And, you know, don't give in to that temptation or that seduction because it's easy to. As a man, especially because you've come out of that lifestyle, right? You've already been there. It's not like you don't know what it feels like or what it is. Now it's the time to say, hey, we're not doing that. We're going to wait till we're married and do it the right way.
100%.
Awesome, man. Well, I hope that helped you a little bit today.
Yes, it definitely gave me a clear head, more of a clear head, for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to be in San Bernardino this Sunday, so you should try to come out to that.
Yes, sir. I have a quick, are you going to be doing altar calls there or any deliverance?
Yeah, there'll be an altar call, and they definitely have a team that'll be praying for deliverance. I don't know if I'll be. I have to just depends on the setting. I don't know if I'll be, like, praying over every person for deliverance, but there'll definitely be people that will be praying deliverance and miracles and altar time. For sure, there'll be an altar time.
Okay, sounds good, man. Sounds good.
All right, man.
Thank you, Isaiah. I appreciate it.
God bless you. Good talking.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
Hopefully, guys, answering these questions will also bring clarity to some of you. Here's the deal. A lot of you have the same questions. These are universal questions, and so these moments are also teaching moments where I'm able to help teach and guide you guys. And I don't know it all. I don't know it all. I've been at this thing for 13 years, serving God full-time ministry for 13 years. I still don't know much. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Every day I learn something new about God. So I'm just giving you guys my advice. You might be like, I disagree. That's fine. Praise God you disagree. But the thing is, this is not your call-in show. So I'm the one they're calling to talk to, but that's totally great to disagree. No problems at all. You're not going to get banned in the chat if you don't agree with me. Just don't start arguments in the chat. But that's totally great if you don't agree. I'm learning, y'all. I'm learning. I'm still growing. I'm 32 years old. I'm still a young man. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. Hang on to that youth. All right, let's take the next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so excited I got through.
Yeah, I'm glad you got through. Where are you calling in from?
Actually calling from Hawaii.
Hawaii. Oh, Lord, send me there. I'm ready, Lord. Here I am. Send me. That's awesome.
Yes.
And what was your name?
My name's Brianna.
Brianna from Hawaii. That's awesome. That's my sister's name. Great name.
What's
going on today?
Yes, it is. Well, first of all, I just want to say I hope I get to meet you in person one day, but I just want to thank you for being so obedient to what God has called you to do and come online and teach and stream. I found you back in fall of 22 and started learning about deliverance, and just you really opened up my eyes, figured out I needed my own deliverance. Through your map, I was able to find a church and
come
get
on.
Deliverance. And
I love it.
So good. So I know you hear it from everybody, but I think it's good that you keep hearing it, keep, you know, being obedient.
Thank you so
much. You know, what you're doing is so great. And I like, you know, your teachings and your family and everything. So
thank you so much. That means a lot. It's very encouraging. You know, it's just awesome. It's encouraging to just motivates me to keep doing what I'm doing. So thank you very much for that.
Yes, of course. Okay. So my question, I have, I'm having some problems in my marriage and I'm working, you know, just trying to be patient, pray, work through that stuff. When it comes to praying, like for deliverance on somebody, I guess my question is it possible for you to, like, when you're praying, call out spirits, come against those spirits in Jesus' name, if the person isn't near you, if that makes sense, if they're at their place of work or maybe upstairs in a different room, do the spirits, can they tell, can they hear? I know God can do anything he wants to at any moment in time. But does that make sense? Is it beneficial to pray and come against those spirits, even though maybe my husband's not even home?
I personally think it is. There's an idea that I always talk about. Well, I don't always talk about it. I need to do more about binding the strong man. So the Bible says, like, hey, if you don't bind the strong man, how could you plunder his house and plunder his goods? So only a stronger man can bind the strong man. And we know the stronger man is Jesus. Jesus can bind the strong man. So it's like, the strong man has taken our friends and family hostage. The strong man, the demonic spirit, the powers of darkness have our friends and family. They hold them hostage. And the only way we can get our friends and family to see the truth, see the light, and reach them is if we first bind the strong man. Otherwise, you're going to try to plunder his house and you're going to be trying to fight him off the whole time. So I believe personally, when you're praying for friends and family, you're binding the strong man. So if I'm going to witness to, like, a friend or family or your spouse or whoever, right? And I know I'm going to witness to them. And there's all these distractions. There's demonic things blocking them. There's hindrances. There's doubt. There's unbelief. I'm going to pray before that meeting and I'm going to bind that. I'm going to bind the strong man. I bind every spirit of unbelief, every spirit of doubt. I bind the spirit of pride in them for sure. And I'm praying warfare prayers. I'm coming against things in the heavenly realm. Maybe the demons in them can't hear me. But I'll tell you what, the demons that are higher ranking, that are commanding, the demons that are in them, right? Because there's ranking. So the demons in us, they have a hierarchy. They have someone to report to. So there's basically spirits in the unseen realm, in the heavenly realms, that command lower ranking demons to do things. So maybe, like, let's say there's a principality, and that principality might send a spirit of anger, right? And that spirit of anger now is sent to your husband. It has an assignment to make your husband angry, mad, rage, all of that, okay? Well, if that spirit's in your husband, I could still come against and pray that God would break that assignment and that power, because that principality that commanded that spirit is in that heavenly realm where the war takes place, where the angels are fighting principalities and powers, and we see that, like, in Daniel 10, for example. So, yeah, I would say praying, Lord, I pray that you would bind these strong men. I pray you'd bind these demonic spirits. I pray every assignment canceled, every plan canceled. Definitely pray those warfare prayers. Definitely bind those things, you know, loose freedom, loose victory. That's really the essence of intercession, is you interceding on behalf of someone else. So, like, your husband, let's just say, for example, he's not going to pray these things over himself. He doesn't have that real, you know, strong, strong relationship with God, where he has that communication with God.
You're right.
But you do. Yeah. So because he can't, you can. So you go to God on his behalf You stand in the gap. There's a gap because he's not reaching God. His prayers aren't reaching God. He has that, you know, he doesn't really have that strong relationship, like, for example, that you would have. So intercession is, I'm going to stand in the gap and intercede on his behalf because he can't. And then God answers our prayers on, basically on our behalf. God's answering our prayers, but it's for that person. So that is where we intercede. That is where we're able to pray for cities, unbelievers, those people that are sick in body that don't believe in healing. You can intercede for them and God will still heal them even though that they don't believe, because the Bible talks about how our faith, the Bible says seeing their faith, he was made well. So like the man that was lowered, you know the story where they removed the roof and lowered the man? The Bible says Jesus healed him because of the friend's faith. Jesus said seeing their faith, he's been made whole. So it wasn't even the man's faith. The man was crippled. He couldn't get there. His friends had the faith to lower him down. So you're basically doing that when you're praying for your husband. You're lowering him down to Jesus saying, hey, look, I know you're not going to go to God. I know you're not going to go for deliverance. I'm going to lower you down. I'm going to put you in that place of prayer. I'm going to intercede for you. And then one day you're going to see a breakthrough. One day you're going to see revival in his life. One day you're going to see God meeting him, encountering him, maybe in his truck. Maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe wherever, it doesn't matter. But that encounter will be partly a result of the prayers that you've been praying and the breakthrough. So that's why it's so important. All of you watching in the chat, all of you listening on the replay, we have to spend time praying for friends and family, praying deliverance for them, praying healing for them, praying that God would open up their eyes. Keep bugging God. Keep going to him over and over for your husband. And that breakthrough will come. It's just you got to keep seeking God and crying out and to see that breakthrough.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Thank you for that. So when I'm praying, is it better to just ask God to bind that strong man and let God do the work instead of me just calling out the specific spirit?
Yeah, I would ask God to do the work. You could definitely you can definitely do both. You can definitely one thing I wouldn't do is I wouldn't start going against principalities, because we don't have jurisdiction. We have authority over demons and people, but it can get dangerous when you start, and I have a whole teaching on that. I just don't have time to go into, but when you start going like, I come against the principality over here, I wouldn't do that. I would ask the Lord to do that. I would ask the angels to do that. Lord, this is how I would say, Lord, I pray you'd send your angels, God, to come against these powers and principalities over my husband. I pray, Lord, that you would break the power. Now, if it's a demon in your husband you're trying to pray against, you can definitely say, hey, I command every spirit of anger and bitterness, and then say his name to come off of, you know, whatever his name is. You can definitely pray that way.
That's more what I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay. You can definitely pray that way. You can pray that way. You can ask God, mix it all in there for sure.
Yeah. I just didn't know if it was like beneficial to come against the spirit of anger or suicide or whatever, if like he's not even in the house.
It definitely is. The spiritual realm is very complex. I've had times I was another place, and then the demon in someone that was miles away heard what I prayed or said, and it's like, how did you know that?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Okay.
Yeah, in the spiritual realm, it's hard to explain. It's not like, I guess, the way we look at time and space. It's a spiritual dimension. So it's not necessarily just like the time and space geographically, but there's some type of, I don't even know. I don't know how it works, but there's some thing in the unseen realm where you could be miles away and you can be, it's just different. It's not like this world is where we're just like, we have to be next to each other to hear each other. So I would say, yeah, when I pray for family and friends, yeah, I'm definitely saying I command the spirit of anger, come off my mom, come off my dad, come off my uncle or aunt. That spirit of unbelief, come off my cousin. Those are some warfare prayers where you're taking authority in Jesus' name. And it definitely won't hurt to do that.
All right. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Hey, I'm getting excited. It makes me want to pray. I'm like, hey, 1:30, we're going to get in prayer, because yeah, it's amazing. Prayer is so powerful. This year, I'm really focusing the whole year on prayer, and it's just such a powerful thing when you start seeing not just your prayer, but you start seeing your prayers answered. And the Bible says the joy comes when you see answered prayers. So it gives us great joy to see, you know, these prayers you're praying are going to get answered.
Yeah, thank you. That gives me motivation to keep going, because I'm kind of impatient, and I'm just like, okay, God.
Keep going. Keep bugging the judge.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for answering that. I appreciate it.
God bless. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. Really great. Really great questions. Really great. My tongue gets tied at noon. Guys, I'm live at 6 o'clock, so I'm supposed to have like 5 hours before I go live. I'm looking outside. It's shiny sunshine, people playing out there. I mean,
I'm over here in my office, guys. My tongue's twisted. I'm looking outside trying to go out there. But yes, really great questions coming in. And can you kill spirits? No. Spirits must be cast out. We cast them into the abyss, which is the holding place until they go through judgment. But we don't kill demons. Demons and spirits can't die. Angels can't die. Demons can't die. Your spirit will never die. You'll live even after death. So there you go. All right, let's take our next caller here. We'll probably end this at about 1:15. And then at 1:30, we have everyone's making me laugh in the chat. We have our monthly partners call at 1:30 today. So if you monthly partner during the stream, I'll send you the link before and just look at your email, because we're going to literally start 15 minutes after the stream ends. So yeah, that's go to the community tab. If you're a YouTube member, you'll find the link there. And then you should have an email link if you're a monthly partner on the website. And then I have a post on Instagram and Facebook that says attention monthly partners. And I sent the link manually through there as well. All right. Here we go. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Here we go.
Oh my goodness. Okay, hold on.
Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name.
That's okay. No rush.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. My name is Michaela, and I'm calling in from Texas.
Awesome. How are you doing today, Michaela?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for calling in, and what's going on?
Wow. First, I know the lady that just was calling said this too, but I really have to honor you and your yes and all the sacrifices seen and unseen that you've made to do what you're doing, your yes to the Lord. So thank you
awesome. So
much for that.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And it's funny because the first time that I ever heard you, it was a video, and I was like, I really don't like this guy. And now I know you hear a lot, but now it's like, I don't have a palate for anything but the fire of God. So
come on.
Yeah, super, super thankful. My husband
That's
and
awesome.
I are in this season, really walking in the authority of Christ. And what that has looked like for us is doing deliverance. And so your videos have been incredibly helpful with encouraging us to do deliverance, even though we don't have like 15 years of experience. So
that's awesome, though. That, it's exciting to get involved and start doing the work.
Yeah, it's humbling. It is crucifying my flesh.
Come on.
My question is about our friend who the Lord has like had us walk alongside her to do deliverance. And I'm asking for your advice on, and I think I need to give some context here. She is a seer in the spirit. So she sees the spiritual realm. Like I would walk into my home and see my husband sitting on the couch. Like she sees them. And I understand that the enemy, like Satan does not, especially with that kind of gifting, does not want to let people like that go easily. And so we've been contending for her. We've done deliverance on her, and some of them have returned, and she cannot tell them to go in the name of Jesus. They don't respond to the name of Jesus or the blood of Jesus. And so oftentimes we've been on the phone from our apartment. She lives 45 minutes away, and we've been like coming to these strongholds. And so I'm just asking your advice in that kind of situation where like she's not able with the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus to cast them out. And so I don't know if there's that has to do with an open door that's unknown or anything like that, but I would love to hear your advice on
now,
that.
Now, is she she's a Christian, is that right?
Yes, and she's in desperately, desperately wants to be set free. Like,
and
she's
is she
tormented
gone, once she got deliverance, did she go back to like a certain sin or back to the world, or was there a moment where she like backslid for a while, or how do you think those demons were able to come back in?
So we did deliverance on Saturday the 20th, and I had been walking with her in terms of lust and porn and like masturbation with in the past like 2 months prior to this.
Okay.
And so I've been walking alongside her as accountability because I was walking in that one time in my life and the Lord delivered me from it. And
awesome.
So the Lord had me come alongside her with that. And so it has all really culminated to this moment where my husband really felt from the Lord that we needed to do deliverance specifically for this, from the spirit of suicide for her, which led to just like a whole bunch of stuff. And so this week she texted me and she said that she did go back to and watch porn. And so I know that's part of the reason why, like, they have come back, but I don't understand why they're not leaving in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. And this is the thing that I'll say this. I say this a million times. People that don't do deliverance don't understand what you're saying. Because when you do deliverance, you'll understand some demons don't leave. Doesn't matter how many times you say Jesus. Doesn't matter how many times you plead the blood. The idea that, oh, it has to be quick is not true. Some of the demons are extremely stubborn. And for whatever reason, they're able to withstand us. I've been in deliverances. Now, I don't want anyone to think I'm some master or have some special power. We all have the same authority and access. None of us have like more power than others. It's just we have the same authority, same access. I've been in deliverances where I know the person wants to be free and we've done everything, renouncing and unforgiveness. We've done worship music and the person's full manifesting, but the demon just won't leave. And it's so frustrating. It's so like disheartening because you're like, I know this thing. I've seen demons leave over and over. Why is it being stubborn? For me, what I'll do is I'll just sit there in the deliverance and ask the Lord for a word of knowledge. I feel like deliverance, these type where you're really struggling, are like a puzzle you're trying to solve. And so for me, it's like, Lord, what's the next piece in the puzzle? What am I missing? What am I not seeing? Why is this demon so stubborn? Now, I've come to find, this is just me personally. If your friend's listening, this does not mean this is her, okay? I don't want her to think, oh, he's talking about me. I've personally come to find people that, let's say, after an hour or two, the demon won't leave. It's stubborn. There's some type of open door, some type of in their mind, they know they're going to go back to that sin. In their mind, they don't really fully want to surrender that area of sin. In their mind, they're still like tentacles and connections to the world in their mind or in their heart. And the demon's somehow finding that thing to hold on to. And really, it doesn't have to leave. It has that open legal right, that open door that it's hanging on to. And so sometimes I'll tell people, is there anything you can think of that this demon's hanging on to? Is there anything in your, and it might take them a while to be like, man, you know what? I just really, in my mind, feel like I'm never going to get free from this. So you're giving them a legal right. You think that you're going to go back to the porn or whatever it is, right? You could fill in the blank with a thousand different sins. So it's like somehow subconsciously, they didn't realize it, but they're still hanging on to some idol or some sin or some compromise. And the devil will use idolatry, right? There's idols in our life. That's idolatry. So it could be a hobby. It could be an addiction. It could be vaping. I mean, anything you could think of, the devil will just hang on to, and they just don't want to give that area up. And so 99% of them, they gave up, but there's that 1% that the devil's hanging on to, that little room you gave them. And it's only a little bit, right? You only gave him a few inches or like a corner of a room, but he's just hiding there. And so when you do deliverance, I think this is probably what happened, okay? I'll just tell you what my opinion on the whole situation. I think you guys cast out a bunch of demons. I don't think the demons came back. I think you cast out a bunch of demons, and I think there's just a bunch more demons. So there was more demons hiding that were hanging on, and I don't know why this is, and I don't have a scripture for this, but I've come to find it's usually the strongest demons leave last.
Yeah.
It's usually the strongest demons hang on the hardest. So you probably know when you do deliverance at the very end, it's like, here we go. Ooh. It's time to talk to the chief demon. It's time to talk to the commander. And these strong demons withstand. The weak demons, they come out right away. They're very easy, a couple minutes. And a lot of times you don't even know they leave. They're just leaving. But those strong demons. So for me, I think probably what happened was the strong demons are still there. And she probably went back to some sin. I'm not necessarily convinced that all the demons came back from a one-time sin. I personally think that strong demon's still there. That's the stubborn one. That's the one that won't leave and has found bitterness, unforgiveness, pride, sin, open door, lust maybe. It's hanging on to, and it's going to take, maybe it takes her fasting. You know, it's like for some people, they won't fast. So for example, let's say she's my friend and I say, hey, I really feel like you need to do a 3-day water fast or like a 1-day water fast or 2-day, and then we're going to pray again. Some people won't do it. They're just like, nope, not doing it. So to me, and I'm not trying to be rude, it just tells me they're not that desperate. Because if I have a demon I want to get rid of, sister, I will fast 21 days. Yeah. I'm down. I'll lose all the weight. I'll get sick. I don't care because I want freedom more than anything. And for some people, they just don't want it that bad. And likely, and usually, the deliverance minister wants them free more than they want to be free. And I know how that is because I'm that way. I'm like, I want you free. And for them, it's like they're kind of apathetic because they've been living with it. But she has to get to that place of desperation, being willing to say, hey, let's do a 2-3 day fast. And you might have to even tell her, hey, I'll do a fast with you. Let's do 2 days. If she's never fasted, let's do 2 days, water only. I'll fast with you. We're going to break this thing. This type only comes out by prayer and fasting. It's a strong, stubborn demon. We're going to fast this thing out. We're going to make your body an uncomfortable place for the demon to stay in. Mm-hmm. You're not going to no longer be, you know, a Hilton 5-star whatever hotel for demons. You're going to be uncomfortable. They're not going to want to be there. We're going to literally drive them out with the fire of God, with prayer, with fasting. And by the time we start praying for you deliverance, there's going to be no demons, because those demons are like, oh, I don't even want to be here. She's fasting. She's praying. She's in worship. And yeah, it's going to be powerful. So that's, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, but that's kind of what I believe is probably going on.
Yes. That was so helpful. Thank you. And I even, something that you said, like, even the space of doubt to hold on to, like, well, in case I go back, it's just, yes, even that. I feel like the Lord is really speaking to me right now of like, that is it. Like, even the doubt of like, well, what if I slip back? Well, it's like, no, there can't even be a degree of anything, because the enemy is going to take advantage of that. So I think that's something that I'm going to approach her with, of like, no, this is, when it's sealed, and it's sealed by the blood of Jesus. That means that you can't go back to it.
Absolutely. You have to burn every bridge, and you have to make sure you tell her this. Likely, when you start doing the deliverance prayer, talk to her, because the demon has been lying to her for so long and constantly telling her, I'm never going to leave. I'm too strong.
Yes.
So-and-so's too weak. Whenever I go to deliverance and the demon starts saying, Isaiah's too weak, he'll never cast me out, it's a complete lie. A complete lie.
Yeah.
It's not, and I'm not saying that because I'm strong. I'm saying that because Christ is strong. I'm not coming as my ambassador representative. I'm coming as Christ's ambassador representative. So she has to lose agreement with that. She cannot be thinking, I'll never get free from this. If she speaks that out of her mouth, she's giving that demon still a legal right. So you need to tell her, don't even think that. Don't even speak that. Recognize that as a lie. Cast that thought down. You will get set free. You will get delivered. The devil is a liar, because that's probably where she's at. She's probably thinking, I'm never going to get free. It's hopeless. We've prayed already. We've already tried. Nothing happened. And that's one thing you don't want her to slip into, that unbelief.
Yep. Roger that. She is fasting right now.
Good.
My husband and I are taking communion every day as well, because we're like, if we're trying to get out of something, that means we need the Holy Spirit in us to repeat that. So this has given me a lot to think about and take to the Lord. And thank you so much for sharing your expertise. Like I said, we're new to this. So
you're doing good, though. You're doing good. And you're learning on the job. You're learning on the job. I tell people, you're not going to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. Just start doing it and you'll learn. And I'm sure, like, you're learning as you go, and it's beautiful. It's like, hey, don't wait around. Just go do it and you'll learn, and God will teach you.
Yep. And yeah, something that you said was like, if you guys are okay with your friends and family being demonized, that's fine. I'm not. That's the place that I'm in. I am not okay with this. Like, I got to walk in my authority now. So it's been really humbling and really good. So thank you so much for your time and your expertise. And we will pray on this and move forward. Thank you so much, Isaiah.
Absolutely. And then too, I want to add, once your eyes are open, I mean, you know this, once your eyes are open to how real this is, you can never go back to normal life. You can never go back to just church on Sunday. Even people I know that backslide, they like do deliverance, they're involved in ministry, and they go back to the world. I've had one friend tell me, dude, I can't even live the same. I can't even go to parties because I know the demons are around. I know the demons are real. Like, it changes the way you look at the whole world, and you'll never go back once you do. It's very hard to go back to the stands once you've been on the field. You know what I mean? It's like, no, I don't want to go watch the game. I want to be in the game. I want to play. I've already been on the field. So yeah, I'm excited for you guys. Yeah. It's all just awesome. It's just continuing to advance his kingdom, and you guys are on the right track.
Thank you. Yeah, I will have to say, like, the amount of things that I even see in the world, like symbols and people, like, it's just like, it's become so obvious. And I'm like, wow. And what the Lord's been showing me, and because I've given him permission, and we've just like, let it be your life in us, not us, maybe your hand, not ours. And so, yeah, it's just been like, whoa, Holy Spirit, wow. really crazy, but praise God, and we will continue to co-labor with him and bring the kingdom of heaven down. So,
amen. Well, I hope to meet you guys one day, and thanks again for calling in.
Yes. Likewise, Isaiah. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Take care.
God bless you, too. Bye.
Bye. Really great question. Good questions today, guys. We're getting some good dialogue. You guys are pulling stuff out of me that I haven't said in a long time. So really good. And yes, we're live. Ryan joked and said this is AI. I mean, I wish I could just click a button and go live and not have to go live. But no, we're live. I'm reading the chat. Guys, I'm reading the chat, but I'm not going to interrupt our conversation just to read the chat. But I am reading the chat. Is this water wet? Well, the water I'm drinking is definitely wet because it's water. And again, we're live. I'm reading all the comments. It literally says live. Like, it says live on YouTube and Facebook. And the lines are full. That's why it says right here, lines are full. Not trying to be rude, but there you go. Lines are full. But yeah, I'm reading all the comments. Okay, we have two more callers in the queue. We'll see how long these go. We are 40 minutes in. We have a prayer call at 1:30. Here's the deal. If y'all are in the partner prayer call, I'm not trying to hype it up or anything and make you guys jealous that you're not going to be there or can't. But I feel the fire today, guys. Like, I'm going in. When we pray, we're praying. I just feel it. It might turn into mass deliverance. I don't know. But we're going to pray for each other, and whatever God leads, I just feel on fire today. I just feel the anointing strongly. And hey, here we are. I'm excited. Let's take the next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
This is Nick. I'm from New Jersey.
What's up, Nick? How you doing today?
Oh, doing good.
Oh, good. Good. And what's going on?
Oh, I just want to say thank you so much. I'm probably saved like a year and a half by now, and
awesome.
It's been a just amazing part. It's just my growth and getting out of my lukewarm lifestyle and just going on fire for God. And
that's amazing.
Thank you.
That's awesome, man. Thanks for sharing that. That's super encouraging.
Yep, and the deliverance map really helped me a lot too. And then I found some local people in my deliverance lab and got a lot of deliverance in a local church, and just been a blessing from God.
So awesome, bro. And what was your question today? What's going on? Anything I can help you with?
Yeah, my question is, I'm like 22 years old. I have a desire to get married one day, but one thing I'm just letting God, kind of got it, not trying to make it an idol. Like, God, whenever the time is, if you want me to have one, I know your time will come. And not trying to make an idol out of it, but I guess my one question, like, I always had, because I've seen like some teaching, I was kind of like about courting and relationships, because I don't know, I feel like if I'm ready to date or whatever, I'm not sure, because like, We look at like if we're not married, like if I see a sister in Christ, it's a sister. But once we get in a girlfriend boyfriend relationship, and it's just like, you know, it could be a covenant, because you know, saying, oh, this is mine, but this is not, no, but this is God, and the relationship might not even work until like a covenant marriage. So, I guess my question is like, what's, I guess, the difference of I guess courting, and what's the advice you would have like for a young 22 guy, just, you know, trusting the Lord for like a relationship one day, like a wife. And yeah, that's my question.
Yeah. So I personally, this is going to sound funny, I don't even know what people teach now as far as the difference between dating and courting. I've heard the term, but is it the same? I mean, the chat might maybe know more than me. I don't even know if they're the same thing or they're different between courting and dating. For me personally, I was like, me and my wife both felt God speak to us that we were going to be together, that we were going to get married. I was like, look, I'm not trying to date people. I'm not trying to try different people out. If God has her as the one, she's the one. We're going to get engaged. We're going to get married. So we never courted or dated. We were together, of course, for a year and a half doing ministry in our church and group setting. So like, that was there. We knew each other. We went to Bible college together. So we knew, it wasn't like we didn't know each other. We were together all the time in prayer meetings and doing ministry together and all of that in the revival. And then when we felt God, we talked to our pastors. We both fasted and prayed, spent time not talking to make sure it was God. It wasn't just our emotions. And then we went through premarital counseling Then we got engaged, and 2.5 months later, we got married. So we personally skipped the dating, the courting, all that. People are saying courting is dating with the intention to marry. Oh, okay, so yeah, I mean, I would say courting is the way to go. I don't personally think that the dating multiple people and this person is the right way. I'm kind of like, okay, look, if she's serious about God, if I like her, she likes me, we're both involved in ministry, that's likely where you'll meet somebody. If you are in ministry or going to church, likely you're going to meet someone in church because you definitely want to marry a solid Christian. So you go, hey, we have the same goals, same desires. We both like each other. We've been around together publicly through ministry, through church, through hanging out, through whatever we've been doing together. And then you start, I guess, courting or dating, whatever you, I guess people are saying courting is more serious with the intention of marriage. Dating is like not as serious. So yeah, courting. Courting is the way to go, you know? Then you start courting, I guess that's what they say, and you go, hey, we're talking to our pastors, we want to get married. I mean, you're 22, so you're definitely, in my opinion, at the age where you are thinking about it, you know, you're talking about it, you're looking, you're, hey, God, whoever you have for me, make this thing work for sure. I got married at 20, I think I was, no, I was 21. My wife was 20, I was 21. I think it's a good age to get married and to settle down. A lot of people are waiting way longer now to get married and have kids, like 30s, 40s. I personally think like 20s, early 20s is the perfect time to get married, to start having kids. But don't rush it. And again, those in the chat that are way older than that, don't rush, don't panic. I'm just saying, I think that's an ideal age. So for you, it's like, hey, developing your character. Like I told the guy earlier, be someone that someone wants to marry. You know what I mean? Like, don't be lazy and not a man of God and not a man of prayer, and not a man of fasting, and then expect someone to want to be with you. Like, would you even want to be with you? For some people, they have nothing going for them. They're not passionate about God. They have no desires for life, no visions, no dreams, no job, no nothing. And then they're going like, I don't know why no one wants to be with me. And I'm just like, not being rude, but would you even want to be with you? So be like, be the person that you would want to be with, really, like someone that's godly and holy and strong and has a prayer life and has their act together, has dreams, ambitions, visions, desire to serve God, all of these things. And then God will bring the right person. God will bring the right person. I mean, it's 2024. I haven't been with anybody dating wise like that 13 years, you know, or 12 years, whatever it was. And before that, I was with a girl for 4 years. So I don't even know. I'm out of touch. I don't even know where people meet each other now. I know people say, like, there's Christian dating apps. There was no dating apps when I was, you know, getting married or anything like that. I have no clue. So I'm out of touch with the whole dating world, and I'm probably the wrong guy to ask for, like, where do I meet somebody? I'm like, church? Prayer meeting? I don't know. I don't even know. But yeah, that's just advice I'd give you, is now's the moment to pray, seek the Lord, get your life together so that when God brings the right person, then, you know, you're ready. But also, I wouldn't even wait for God to bring the person. I would be also looking. Be like, hey, God, I'm going to go out there, put the work in, and, you know, be outgoing and approach people and ask somebody out. Whatever it is, I think you should also be kind of like pursuing as well, not just waiting. A lot of guys or girls are waiting, and it's like, hey, don't wait. Go find someone that God has for you. A man that finds a wife finds a good thing. So the man finds the wife, right? The man finds a wife finds a good thing. So I would definitely say there is some work and some outgoing that you have to be as well to find somebody.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anyways, people are saying church, Christian dating apps. I don't know. But definitely, man, God has someone for you. Just keep going after him and God will make it work out.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right, bro. God bless. Take care. Listen, guys, I've been married a long time, going on 12 years. So I'm out of touch. I haven't done any type of like, hey, nothing. I was in a 4-year relationship, got saved. God told me to break up with her. Alyssa got saved like a month or two after I got saved. She was in ministry with me for a year plus. She was the first person I had feelings for after getting saved. The first person I was attracted to after getting saved. We got engaged at a church service. 2.5 months later, we were married. So I don't know, y'all. I wasn't test driving people. I wasn't out there dating one person, dating the next person. I told God, Lord, the first person I get feelings for, I want that to be my wife. I'm doing it the right way. I'm not doing this whole, I had 4 other girlfriends before my wife. And no, I literally dated that girl, like I said, Mind you, those 4 years, I was terrible because we'd break up a week and then I'd go be with someone else. Then we'd get back together and we'd break up a week and then I'd go be with someone else. So I was bad when I was not saved. Like, I did a lot of bad things. But when I got saved, because I had a toxic relationship with girls and with lust and everything else, I wanted to do it the right way. So in my opinion, the right way is like, hey, this is the person. God, we both have the same goals, same vision, same dreams, and let's go for it, right? And again, I'm definitely not the guy that's out here giving dating and marriage advice and all that. I'm just telling you what worked for me and what happened to me. But don't look for videos on my channel about how to find your wife or 10 steps to be a better man to find, you know what I'm saying? I don't got that. It's not my expertise. Now, cast out demons, we could talk all day about that. But dating, I don't even know. All right, next caller, and this will be, I think, the last caller of today because it's almost 1 o'clock, and then I'll hang out and talk to you guys for a little while and all that stuff. Yeah, and some people find great relationships online. Everybody's online, so yeah. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, Isaiah. My name is Makayla, and I'm calling in from Sonora, California.
Awesome. Makayla, how are you? I like your name.
Thank you. I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Thank you
good.
So much for taking my call.
Absolutely. You're the last caller today, so I'm glad that you got through, and we got through everybody today, which
Yay,
is good.
Yay, me too.
We didn't leave anybody hanging.
Yay. Okay, so my question is, I kind of feel like a terrible person for asking it, but I really don't know the answer, which is why I am asking it.
Yeah, don't feel terrible. But, you're good.
Okay. So my question is how are we supposed to love people when people can be so evil and wicked? And even back in the day, God like destroyed the whole earth because people were so evil and wicked. But we are supposed to be able to love them.
Yeah, that's a good question. And my answer would be the only way we can is with the love of God. And for me, when I have a hard time loving difficult people or evil people or wicked people or people that do wicked things and then serve God after, you're like, how could I forgive that person? My only thought is because Christ forgave me. I mean, that's literally what motivates me to go, hey, I'm going to love the unlovable, even someone that's, like you said, incredibly wicked. How could you love that person or God call you to love that person? Well, the same way God loved me when I was wicked, when I was evil, my sin was no different than their sin in the eyes of God. So, for example, the Apostle Paul, I mean, he was literally getting Christians murdered. He was holding their coat of the people that were stoning Christians. The Bible says he was getting people pulled out of their house door to door, women, children, adults. I mean, it was just terrible what Paul did. Yet here God is, chooses him to be an apostle, and he writes 2/3 of the New Testament. So it really is showing the heart of God that even people that are like literal murderers, murdering Christians, God has a plan and a purpose for still. Now, a person like me or a person like you would say, I would never be that evil. I would never do that. How could God forgive or love or anything like that? Well, we were that evil. We were liars, thieves, fornicators, idolaters, blasphemers. The Bible says if you've broken one law, you've broken them all. So in the eyes of a holy God, we're just as bad. So that's how I look at people that are hard to love. Like, Lord, you loved me while I was a sinner, while I was unworthy, while I was everything bad. You were able to love me, so I have to love them as well, you know? Yesterday, for example, this might sound like a dumb illustration or analogy. Literally, we're at our house. I'm driving home from the kids to school. My wife's sitting in our living room. And these guys come up to our porch, guys in a beat-up truck, drive over my grass, come up to our porch, and steal a bunch of our packages off our porch. Stole like 2 or 3 packages. And we're cussing. We're at our front door, kicking our packages, saying, give me these packages. Just being terrible, right? I got home. I was obviously furious. I pulled up my security camera, saw their car, saw what they looked like, got snapshots of both of them, and was like, I'm going to go find them because one of the neighbors said, I've seen that truck in the area. And I literally, I'm telling you, I wanted to go, I'm going to slash their tires. I was thinking of evil things. I was so mad. How dare they come to my house and violate my house and steal my stuff. And right here on my porch, my wife was sitting right here. The window's there. I was just so furious. And then after a few hours, got that conviction of the Holy Spirit. I just remembered what Jesus said, where he said, hey, if somebody steals from you and they take your shirt, give them something else. Like if they take from you, give them more. So then I thought, I told my wife, I'm going to go find their truck where they live. and put money in an envelope and leave it at their door and bless them. Because obviously they need, and whatever they stole was like, it was like a shelf and something cheap. It wasn't like they stole a bunch of money. But I was so furious. And then I thought, you know what? What would Jesus do? Jesus would bless them. Jesus would pray for them. Jesus would love them. Jesus would say, hey, you stole this. I have other stuff you want to take. Here, open my garage. What do you need? I got you. Here you go. And that's really the gospel message. It's so hard. It made me like, oh, I felt convicted. You know, like I'm a pastor over here thinking in my head, I want to go slash their tires, like whatever. It's just so bad and embarrassing to even say. But then the Lord's like, no, you need to bless them. And then I called a family member like, hey, should I just go to their house and knock on their door and like give them money? And he was like, he's in law enforcement, the guy that I called. And he's like, nah, that's dangerous. You don't want to get in a confrontation. They could like attack you. So I'm just like, maybe I'll find their car and leave an envelope on it. I don't know. And I'm not trying to be spiritual or like super righteous. I just think like Jesus said, if somebody takes from you, offer them something else. And it's hard. I was like, Lord, I have to love these people. It makes me so mad that they're over here at my house, cussing on my porch, stealing from me right in broad daylight, right there. Just my kids could have been outside playing. And that's kind of the love Christ has for us is like, we were those thieves, right? We were stealing from God, hating God, angry at God. We were on God's porch, right? Stealing from him and blaspheming him and everything else. And yet in his love and mercy, he dies for us. So yeah, that's for me. I gave you a whole like 5-minute sermon, but for me, it's just realizing the love of God, the love of Christ and what he's done for us, you know, helps us love the unlovable people.
So then I do understand that. I guess it's, do you kind of have to a little bit like fake it till you make it, like force yourself to be like, I love them. And for me, it's not a particular person. It's more of like the general population is what my question is about.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to force it. Yeah. The Bible says you don't have to like them, but you do have to love them. So there's a much big difference between saying, I love this person and I like this person. There's one thing to have like a godly love. Like, for example, there's a lot of people that I love but don't like. And these people are people that are for abortion. These people are for people that are for a bunch of stuff I can't name because I'll get demonetized. But it's hard to love those people. I don't like them. I don't want to hang out with them. But I have a godly love to reach them and see them saved. But again, I personally think, and I could be wrong, but I think liking somebody is different than loving somebody, right? We have to have the unconditional love of God. But you don't have to like them. Like, I don't like people that are for murdering babies and for abortion. I don't like our president at all. There's not even 1% of me that likes our president, but I love our president. I pray for our president. I go, Lord, I personally believe that our president is the judgment of God. You know, the Bible says God appoints and God brings down. And I think, man, we're under the judgment of God. We have a president that is for the murder of babies. Let's just all be honest. That's the truth. So I believe, hey, that's God's judgment on our nation because we've rebelled, we've been wicked, all of that. But do I love our president? Yeah, in a godly way, I love him. I pray for him, but I don't like him. I would never vote for him. I would never, you know, I can't think of one good thing to say about him, but I still pray for him. I still have godly love towards him in my heart, but I definitely don't like him. It wouldn't be something where I ever want to, you know, hang out with a guy like that because I think he's being used of the devil, but I know God appointed him. So we have to pray for our leaders. We have to love our leaders. But yeah, for me, I think liking and love is different. And I could be wrong. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay. Thank you so much for your answer. I think that it has cleared up a lot, especially like the whole, like, you kind of just have to, I mean, I guess not force it, but you kind of have to have that godly love. And I think that's what I need to work on is the godly love because
yeah,
people
absolutely.
Really out there in the world are just, they're just so evil.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, you're right. 100%. Yeah. They're under the power of the devil. The Bible calls them the sons of disobedience and the devil's spirit is at work within them. So they 100%, many of them are very evil and these are the people we're called to reach. So it's like, it's hard sometimes, but we just got to do it.
Okay. All right.
Awesome.
Well,
thank you so much again,
Isaiah. All right. I hope to see you in the partner call.
All right. We'll see you soon. God bless.
All right. Bye.
Good question. Guys, listen, sorry to say it, but I love our president, but I do not like him. I would never vote for him in a trillion years. I think he's incredibly wicked in many ways. And sorry for all of you Joe Biden fans. That's just what it is. I got to be honest. We are going to do here in about 20 minutes our monthly partner call. If you want a partner, you can. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. not a monthly partner call. It's our weekly partner prayer meeting. Every single week of this year, we're going to be praying with our monthly partners in Zoom. We don't have an agenda. We're going to pray together. We're going to talk with each other. We're going to pray for each other. I'll have some of you guys pray. Like, hey, who wants to pray? Raise your hand. Boom, you're going to be praying. It's going to be a great time. That will be in 25 minutes. So if you're a monthly partner on YouTube, which is a YouTube member, I just call it a partner. It's a member. All you need to do is when you sign up, you'll see your little perks tab. You can get the code there, or you can go to the community page and you'll find the link there. If you're on the website, I will email you right now after the stream's over the link to it, okay? You'll get an email. If you've already been a partner, you should already have an email because I sent every partner an email a couple days ago. And if you didn't get all of that and you're like, I still don't have the email and I monthly, go to my Instagram or Facebook. There's a post that says attention monthly partners. Excuse me. My chat froze. On that post, you'll see the you'll see a spot to comment. Comment there and I'll send it to you on Instagram or Facebook, okay? I hope that helps everybody. I wish I could just message you guys right here on YouTube, but that's not a feature YouTube has. But I could message you on Facebook or on Instagram if you comment on that post. I'll be able to message you directly there. And again, if you miss this week, then you're like, hey, I got it next week. It's every week. It's every week. I don't know if there's going to be 5 people on or 100 people on or 200. I have no clue. I literally have no clue. So we'll see. And those of you that are like, well, I can't afford it, you could even give 10 cents and get in there. Okay, 10 cents a month. It doesn't matter. It's not about income. It's about outcome. Some of you are asking, why don't you just open it to the whole stream? Because last time we did that, 1,000 people joined, crashed the Zoom, and we just can't. We can't. It doesn't work. Zoom's not big enough to hold all of us. Our streams are too big. So if you want to give to today's stream, there's Cash App. I'll leave it on screen for like 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to get off here and get ready for our call, and we're going to pray. I feel fired up, y'all. I'm excited. I'm ready. This has been a great stream, and it's going to be great, okay? You might be underestimating the numbers. Yeah, I have no clue. I have no clue who's going to come, what. We do have a good amount of YouTube members. I think YouTube is, what, $5 a month, $10 a month? Yeah, we have a lot of YouTube members. So who knows? I have no clue. Does it need to be quiet or secluded? No. You can mute yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be driving in your car with yourself on mute and we're praying together. So yeah, you could be anywhere and join the call because I won't call you to pray unless you raise your hand. So if I'm like, hey, who wants to pray now? Raise your hand. Then I'll put you on. But I'm not just going to put you on while you're in your car driving or at work or something. Yeah. So that's fine. Yeah, you can switch if you want to be a YouTube member instead, Brittany. There's a link when you partner that you can edit your plan. You know what? Let me do this because people miss this link. This link that I'm about to post, and Brittany, for the rest of you, is the link if you want to cancel or change your monthly partnership on my website. So get ready. I'm posting in the chat. That link will let you cancel or change your website partnership. Now, I want to be clear on this. It's better to partner on my website because I get the ministry gets the full amount. If you partner on YouTube, the membership, YouTube takes, I think, like 30%, 20-something percent. YouTube takes a good cut from it. So I know some of you can't do the website. You have to do YouTube because you're international. That's fine, whatever. I get it. But it's best to partner on the website. So here's the link I'm posting to change your amount or to cancel your monthly partnership with me on the website. There it is. You get that when you sign up, but thank you, Diane. Diane, Emily, you guys are all amazing. I don't even know what to say about my mods. They're the best. They are literally the best. All right, they're the best. So what I'm going to do is send the link out to those of you that signed up today on the website. And if you're a YouTube member, you already have the link. Save that link. That meeting ID is my personal meeting ID, and that will be the same password and link every single week. Save it to your notes and all that good stuff. Okay? We are ending this stream in a minute. We're done with the stream. This was a great stream, though.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.